Retiring in 2000, Bill Chappell got interested in doing more with the paranormal. After seeing people use dowsing rods, he decided to build an electronic pair. After one of those never-saw-that-coming events, he started a project called Digital Dowsing. In 2007, he started Digital Dowsing LLC and began preparations to produce his first paranormal devices. With three devices on the market, a book scheduled for release in spring of 2009 called Don't Lick the Walls.
We really need to ask about that.
Yes. And five devices under development. A lot is happening at Digital Dowsing. New projects include REVP, a system to reverse the EVP process, aiding in building better devices. The website is http://digitaldowsing.com. That's digital, D-O-W-S-I-N-G. .com, no hyphens, no spaces, nothing like that, just digitaldowsing.com. We are so thrilled to welcome Bill Chappell to Ghostly Talk. Welcome, Bill.
Well, thank you, guys. It's nice to be here.
And how cool does that sound? You know, we're getting some serious variety going here. It's only been we've only had a couple, and I'm hoping that, you know, people that come on the show will start kind of taking out, you know, getting on this wagon, I guess, because Bill is coming to us live on Skype tonight, which the quality is fantastic, I think. And how does it sound on your end, Bill?
Oh, it's perfect. I wear a set of headphones, and I've got the mics, so my hands are free, and it's very comfortable.
Excellent. We've had a couple people on in the past like this.
He'll probably invent something while we're talking.
I've done this stuff like when I was in Florida, for example, a few months ago, back in
yes.
June.
Yes,
I did, actually in Tennessee in September. I didn't
yes,
see
you
I
did.
Was on Skype, and it's so cool.
You were Skyped directly into the studio where it was Skype to Skype, so it was like crystal. I really dig it. Yeah,
yeah,
usually we have to do that Skype out, and
it's crazy. I
and then you
that.
Deal with the phone lines. But
let's get into some of these gadgets. We got to get out of the gate here.
Well, here's the thing.
Go ahead, Doug.
You know, Bill, I've got to admit, what happened was, I started hearing more and more and more about this puck and Avalis, and I'm like,
well, the paranormal puck.
The paranormal puck, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it just sort of came out of the blue, because I was still looking at this Frank's box thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden people are starting, you know, this, that. I tried one of these, I did this, you know, whatever. I'm like, okay, I got to find out more about this. And I just didn't have time because of all
work.
The stuff that's been going on with work. But, I mean, this is just absolutely incredible technology from what people are saying. What's up with this?
Well, the puck at its basis is a fairly sophisticated EMF meter.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, when I first started into this, I was building I built a set of digital dowsing rods. I was working with some different types of EMF technology. And I got approached by a couple different people about doing some ITC work.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be very honest, I didn't believe it was possible. But... you know, I'm kind of one of those people, I've got kind of a sarcastic nature, I love to have a lot of fun, and so I kind of said, yeah, you know, I'll give it a shot, kind of winking to myself, and I thought the whole thing was pretty much a joke, but I had the idea in my head, I figured out that I could take the EMF values and map it to a dictionary and have this thing talk, and I thought, well, you know, it'd be interesting. First time I did it was at Waverly Sanatorium, and literally I was finishing up the software. It was one of these great big events, and I was sitting in the back, and I'm actually writing the software and just getting it done as everybody's getting ready to go in. The very first thing the thing said to me as far as sentence structure was, "Lake, water, Friday night, you die." And that kind of took me back. I wasn't ready for that. And that pretty much set the entire
time. What day was it first?
Yeah, were you there on a Friday or
Saturday? What day was it, Bill?
That was there on a, gosh, good question. That was a Saturday night.
Oh, so
you
had
a whole
week.
You're fine.
I had a
whole
week.
Yeah. Well, you got to get all that wrapped up then, yeah.
But, you know, that's really was the genesis of it. It wasn't that I don't have a deep-rooted, love the paranormal. It's just that particular portion of it I didn't give a lot of credence to. But, you know, here about 18, 20 months after the fact, you know, I'm at the point now where, you know, I've changed quite a bit of my perception. I've seen enough of these devices, and when I say that, I mean, you know, with the Hackbox, the Frank's Box, Mini Box, K2 meters, you know, the Puck Ovilus, and then there's a bunch of other things. You know, I don't see the, don't get me wrong, I don't get volumes of text and things like that, but, you know, it's these 3- and 4-word things that are they're so contextual that it's just very difficult for me to dismiss them.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting because you're talking, okay, so you have this career and then you retire in 2000, right? Mm-hmm. What am I going to do with my time? And you chose, somehow you chose the electronic dowsing rods, and then of course it built up into these other new inventions, and it's continuing, right? what was, if somebody had said, you know, in the year 1990, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, in a decade or so, you're gonna go like, you know, you're not gonna, you know, get a Winnebago and travel around, you know, the country. You're gonna stay at home and invent all these little gizmos for ghost hunters. I mean, what would you have thought then?
Yeah, I probably would have dismissed that pretty quick.
Yeah.
you know, I used to, at that point in my life, I was still working for a large robotics firm, and, it wasn't on the radar screen for me. You know, there's no doubt in my mind when I retired, I wanted to do something just because I retired fairly young, and, you know, I like to do different projects and things like that. I do a lot of community work, but, yeah, this was, like I said, it was one of those never-saw-it-coming kind of things. And, you know, it was kind of started out kind of, my wife was tired of me hanging around the house and said, you know, you need to go do something. And so I went out to a couple conventions and hit one out in Las Vegas and, you know, kind of got hooked. And, you know, here about 8 years later, we're talking about it.
But this is what's interesting, Bill, because it... What happens is you've got, you know, okay, so I'm going to get out of the house, I'm going to go to these things because they sound weird enough to capture my interest for, you know, an entire day or two.
Exactly.
And then all of a sudden the gears in your head start spinning and you start, you know, working on these things, the digital dowsing rods, the, you know, the new inventions, the ones coming up. I mean, it's just crazy. So what all it takes, I think, for any of this is very encouraging to me, and I'm building up to why. It's encouraging to me because, you know, had you told me 5 years ago, because we've been doing this show
we'll be our seventh year come February.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. we'll turn
seven.
Yeah. So if you had said 5 years ago, you know what, in 5 years you're going to start hearing about these new inventions. I would have probably said, oh, yeah, no, they're just going to still be talking about orbs.
There has been the, I mean, it really, that's a really great point, Doug, because I never thought in a million years when I first got into this stuff nearly a decade ago now that there would be all these, you know, the gadgets that people are putting together on some sound scientific stuff, right? Yeah.
Well, we have the Spiricom in what, the 60s and 70s.
Well, or 70s and 80s, 80s, you know, yeah.
And
which
then,
just seems like this was. If I'm sorry, Doug, I gotta ask Bill. You know, this has been coming up lately, but I'm sure you're aware of the Spiricom, you know, the device,
yes.
Spiricom.
Mm-hmm.
Did this have any type of influence on you as far as putting these devices together? Or, I mean, because it seems like a lot of people are basing, you know, a lot of this stuff on this old-school ITC Spiricom thing.
Well, Spiricom takes a different venue. You know, I went down a different approach, and that approach was to, you know, many people go in this trying to find a method to create sound, you know, like a background sound, a white noise, pink noise generator, scanning radio. In your Spiricom, you know, I think they used 13 simultaneous tone generators to give you pretty much the range of a human male voice. And my skew was a little different, that I was trying to eliminate the background noise and do some things that were different.
Mm-hmm.
So, now it really wasn't an influence that way. Now, some things I'm working on currently, some new projects coming up. I've actually looked back at that and going to take a different approach to that similar kind of an idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had some issues with Skype here, so we had to do some tinkering around here, and we got Bill back.
So,
Skype broke. It happens every once in a while. I mean, what are you going to do? But when we left you, I think we were talking about Spiricom and kind of the whole Spiricom thing. And I remember asking
and
you
how much inspiration
was it?
That
was it something
been.
That inspired you? I'm just curious.
And you
that.
Said you were going for almost the opposite.
Yeah.
But now you may put in a little bit of the noises or tones or whatever in future experiments. But
well, no, I won't go with a noise and tone route.
Oh, okay.
I'm actually absolutely not looking to go down that avenue.
Okay.
But it's probably, I think, where I am looking at is using a transmission method as a mode of a potential way to receive the ITC
information. Oh, interesting.
Okay.
Right. But this will be a system where there won't be any tones introduced. Actually, as far as what you hear, you'd hear it just like we're talking currently.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, it's just more or less, I mean, well, obviously you're going to try. Well, let me ask you this. Because the Frank's Box thing, and it's a real hot subject right now.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people seem to be talking about this device. And then, namely, also, the what do they call it? The Radio Shack hack's been coming up a lot also, as far as this conversation and hot topics. Now, I've seen both of them in action. Okay, I've seen I've seen a real Frank's Box. I mean, Rosemary Ellen Guiley got to see it in West Virginia. It was really cool, and it was really interesting. You know what was going on. Now, and I've seen the Radio Shack hack in action also. I'm trying to find a nice way to say this. I mean, when somebody asks a question, you know, what color's the sky, right? And then blue. I think I used this example before, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you might hear some voice that says something with the same tonal quality as the word blue, okay? Or you might hear the word blue. I'm just wondering, you know, I've heard some really weird stuff, some pretty funny stuff come from, especially the Radio Shack hack as far as results. And, you know, I guess I'm starting to cut a little more on these things because, you know, we've been talking about matricing a lot here, too,
you know,
as far as stuff like that's concerned. I'm wondering what your take is on that. I mean, I'm just curious what you think about the Frank's Box type setups.
Well, you know, pardon me. Like I said, when I first started doing all this and looked at it, you know, I was very skeptical. Now, since then, you know, I've actually met Frank Sumption. I've had a chance to play with a couple Frank's boxes. And the Radio Shack hack, the original 469, was actually, I put that out. I put it up on Frank Sumption's group under the name Duck.
You should have got to talk to you, huh?
Yeah. So, you know, I'm familiar with both. You know, it is a difficulty, and that's, like I say, that's the reason I took a different tack with it. Even with my own product, Ovilus, the speech is not crystal clear.
And no, it
difficult.
Isn't.
There's always a matrixing issue with that. That's probably why I actually have the equipment I build and the equipment I've played with. I like the Puck because it prints everything to the screen.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very difficult, you know, when people are talking, and this is something that I've got a chance to play with in depth. If I've got my computer turned away from you, you can't see the screen, and you're listening to what the conversations are that are coming across.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the diction is fairly specific and very clear, without context, you know, in other words, you know, unless we have a history of this conversation going on, people really only get about 65-70% accuracy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I can say that with some confidence because I've done this at, you know, numerous different locations with hundreds of people, and I've got a chance to observe what they do. So, you know, matrixing is a big issue. But on the other side of that, like I say, I have seen things come out of the hack, and I've seen things out of Frank's Box that are just about, you know, irrefutable.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's one of those things. I know exactly what you're saying, and I say the same things.
Yeah.
You know, and I tell people, even with my own equipment, you know, that you've got to be very careful. And, you know, before you go to that point that you think you're getting communications, as chances are you're fooling yourself.
Well, I mean, this
and,
is, we're working.
You know, you've got to be very careful.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm sure you know, and I know, I mean, you're working with stuff that, you know, these are all ideas, great
Correct.
Theories, but none of us know 100% of how to do it. If we knew 100%, we could build the super machine to do this mm-hmm. work. And we would, you know, we could be going to telephones or have our own, you know, talk to the dead cell phone or whatever you want to call it. But no, this is stuff that just isn't, this frontier has not been discovered 100% yet. So, yeah, you're not going to have 100% accuracy, obviously.
But this is why I'm excited because,
this is what makes
it's exciting. We're out there, someone's actually, you know, you're actually inventing this stuff and coming up with theories and testing them. So you wire something together and you get nothing for you know, the entire time you're trying it. Okay, so that one didn't work.
Oh, we've done that with Ghostly Talk here.
Exactly. So
For an hour and we didn't tape anything.
At least you're out there experimenting and then making it available to people who may or may not be able to get stuff. Because I've heard people, same thing. Oh, I love the Radio Shack hack because it answered me. This and that happened. And it meant something to them. And I think that's fantastic.
I think that's a beautiful thing. I really do. Whether it's the real McCoy or not, I think it's still a good thing. If that's helping people, that's great.
Right, because it meant something to them. But at the same time, I personally don't see the, like the same ideas in the Radio Shack hack as I do with the Frank.
It's a custom piece of equipment for one thing.
Well, the Frank's Box is custom, but it's also, you know, it's got a lot more ITC ideals in there built into it. You know, I just see that while it doesn't have a, you know, transmitter receiver kind of thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
At least it's got a similar thing within the audible range, because it's got that, what is it? I don't know what he calls it, an echo chamber or whatever it is, like it's just a chamber of air. You know, but the stuff has to get from one side of that to the other in order before it comes out of the speaker. So there's something in there where, you know, something could introduce a vibration. Or whatever
quality,
but that's more ITC-ish. But somebody's out there testing this and building this stuff, and I think that it's very exciting. Why should people add a puck and an obelisk to their repertoire of EMF detectors and flashlights and gizmos and infrareds? Is it really working?
Well, you know, let me tell you my experiences, and, you know, for me, I use just about everything, and I've got a pretty steadfast standard I go to as far as I look at things where I'll say it's even interesting. But, you know, lately we've been getting things where I've been out with a couple different groups where we've gotten conventional EVP, and we're getting the same message in EVP as we're getting coming up on the puck, or we're getting the same thing said on the obelisk as being said on EVP, or we're getting obelisk in a hack box or a puck in a hack box. So, you know, you have two completely different methods getting the same message. You know, now that starts getting very interesting.
Well, it's cross-referencing.
And then it gets to that point where we have to start. Yeah, we also have to start saying, okay, this gets so far statistically outside chance, it really, you know, it bears some scrutiny. But, I'm not trying to replace anything. I'm certainly not trying to, take Frank's Box out of the market. I think Frank is definitely the pioneer here, and I think he will be for a long time to come.
Mm-hmm.
I just went down a different avenue with it, and I'm hoping that anybody out there that's listening, you know, we need everything. So if you're going to build something, you know, take a new tack, try something different, and, you know, that's the only way we get there. If we all try the same thing, well, we know how that ends.
Yeah. Well, no, and that's again that and you have this cross. Yeah, you have this.
I wholeheartedly agree. Not so much a cross reference as you get supportive evidence.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah,
evidence that supports other evidence, which is just amazing. Okay. And if you have a repertoire, right, of all these different gizmos.
Mm-hmm.
And some are agreeing. I think it's fantastic. Do you think, Bill, that perhaps it's then, okay, if let, let's let's go to the other side, and we are spirits now, and of course not, you know, really, but, you know.
Let's pretend, though.
We'll pretend, and yes, we're role play. Mm-hmm. We're spirits, and we have a message to get across, right? And there's these people down here in our favorite, you know, haunted house that we hang out in, and they've got all these gizmos. Do you think it's less than about the gizmo itself as it is perhaps about, you know, these people provide, you know, these people providing a channel of some kind for me to get my message across through? Is it like, does the actual, because you said we've gotten the same thing in EVP as we have on the obelisk or on the on the hack or whatever, we've gotten, you know, it's, you know, there's supportive evidence. So is it less about the actual gizmo than the fact that there is a channel there for me to make my message go across?
Right. Well, you know, I've got to be very honest when we get down to this one. I don't go down the road of being spirit or transcendental or UFO. Or, you know, for me, the jury's really out here. I don't know what this is we're communicating with. And, you know, I'm having a difficult time actually quantifying that. I see quite a bit that leads me to believe that a lot of what's happening is some type of PK phenomenon. Mm-hmm. And it's the investigator or the people in the room directly influencing the equipment. What gets me with a philosophical idea like that is how a person that has no perceived understanding of a Frank's box, a K2 meter, an obelisk, or a puck could possibly influence it, but yet we seem to be seeing exactly that.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think that? I don't know what goes on, honestly, and I have to be just, you know, just that forthright.
Don't worry.
Yeah, you know, I just don't know, and I mean, that's really what a lot of this is about, and that's one of the projects we'll talk about a little later, is I'm actually going into taking one aspect of how these things happen and recreating it so I can actually go back and look at multiple pieces of equipment and see if everything fits in the same scenario. Can I influence it using this one method? Is this one, you know, possible scenario that works across, you know, many different platforms? And, you know, that's really where I'm going at it, you know. I want desperately before I leave this plane of existence, I'd love to crack 1%. I think that if it's one thing, it's a million different things, and it's all happening at once. So, you know, I'm very hard-pressed. I never say it's not spirit or ghosts or anything else, because it certainly could be. But it certainly could also be a thousand things we're not even considering.
Yeah, very easily. I mean, that's what makes it exciting, though, is that there are all these possibilities out there.
Right.
You know,
right, and the theories are boundless. I mean, you know, of course, the one thing, the intention of ghost hunters, you know, when you're going out to a supposedly haunted location, mm-hmm. is to try and talk to ghosts or capture
right.
evidence of them. What are we actually capturing? I maintain we're just capturing it and marking down anomalies, because
mm-hmm.
we don't know. And I had said that when we were talking to when we talked to Jeff, I think Danilek.
Last week.
Yeah. That we were, you know, we're just out there capturing anomalies and cataloging them and building up this evidence. But what is it evidence of? We just really don't know. However, I do think that there may be something, you know, PK, it could be PK, but, and I know you had said something like, how would somebody's PK know how to put an EVP or something, or how to affect a K2 meter or whatever? Well, the same thing with the power of prayer. I mean, I've heard, I don't know if it works or not, but I have heard that people really believe that you can pray someone to health, or you can pray that, you know, it'll be a short monsoon season, or you can pray, you know, and that they swear up and down that the power of prayer works. Now, do they know how to heal somebody? Probably not. Do they know How to lessen the effects of a hurricane? Probably not. But it, you know, but there's some power to it, and just the intention is enough. And that,
right.
And that brings us more into ITC. Go that ahead. Brings us more into ITC, because ITC lately is mostly about intention and wholeness and vibration and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, and that goes, that's tying into spiritualism, though.
Right.
I mean, that's totally... Yes. Tying into spiritualism in its rawest form, where, yeah, intention, oneness, harmony with each other. And we've heard this from Mark. Mark
right, right.
Today. It's the most important tool you have is your intentions. You
know? Is there, because you've actually been out in the field with all this equipment, and I think that's fantastic, but is there a... Are there certain, like, can you go into a night thinking, wow, I'm just really on today? You know, I've got the vibe or whatever. And then get all kinds of stuff or perhaps the opposite. You think, oh my gosh, this is really, everything's hitting the mark. I'm going to get great stuff. And then nothing happens. Or is it a big mess or is it, you know, is there something about the vibe or the, you know, the oneness with the experiment that you've seen that gives better or worse results?
Right. Well, you know what? When I first started looking at this, I didn't put a lot of credence in the idea that intention made a difference. But, you know, like I said, the more I've worked in this particular genre, the more I've seen that I think intention is everything. And that's one of the parts of the equation that I don't understand. You know, if this is a communication with another entity, okay, let's just put that out there. If this is communication with something other than ourselves, why do I have to intend to communicate with you? Are you, you know, does it, you know, what part of the equation is that? But I do see that, and I see that with different groups. I mean, everybody, you talk to groups of people, I say, well, this is the guy that gets all the EVPs, you know, and there are people like that. There are a couple very well-known people who I won't mention that, you know, I've listened to their EVPs and I know they're not faking them. They are apps. I've been right there when they've done them. But to me, they sound like a caricature of their own voice, which is totally fascinating, you know, that somehow they're broadcasting this stuff. I think we're looking at so many things at once. You know, like I say, literally, it's very difficult. You know, where do we separate out? If we accept that spirits on the other side and this happens, I think you pretty much have to accept that PK probably exists and that happens. Then we probably have to think that there's probably some type of, you know, overlap in the time-space continuum and all these different things. So, you know, where does one start and the other end or vice versa, you know, and it's that really makes it difficult, but it also makes it fun. And that's one thing I tell everybody, you know, I've met some incredibly intense ghost hunters, you know what I mean?
All right.
And if you're not out there having a good time, I don't understand why you're even doing this, because, you know, I just don't get it. I met some people that it's just, you know, they're just like pounding on the desk, we've got to do this and this and this, and it has to be this.
We've met people like that
have
before.
To happen. And yeah. It's like, what are you up to?
Yeah, we've met people like that before, and they're no longer in our lives. We're done!
No,
we've also met people where everything's a ghost, which is really the,
right.
the most interesting, one of the more interesting characters.
I got to comment on something, Bill. Now, you're still on Skype, am I correct, or are we on the phone now? We're on Skype.
No, we're on Skype.
We're like crystal clear coming through to you on your headphones, right?
Yes.
Okay, we're crystal clear. So this will work then. You mentioned, you know, we talked...
If you turn that knob, right?
Yeah, I'll do that.
Okay.
I'm getting to it, right?
I just wanted to make sure.
Oh, my God. This guy's like micromanaging me to death tonight. we mentioned this. I think this we talked about this EVP with Jeff Danilik last week, too.
Yes,
You were talking about EVPs. That take on the trait characteristics of the person who's recording them, as far as their voice is concerned, right?
Correct.
Now, I don't know, and I'm gonna do my best not to front load you on this, okay? And I'll say this again: we've been milking these EVPs for 4 years now. It's the best thing we've ever gotten. And we didn't even record it ourselves. We were there when it was recorded, and thankfully Scott Curran, the guy who wrote the Ghostly Talk theme songs for us, is nice enough to let us use these things. I'd like to let you hear this because this is a good example for you. You know, for your own self and also the listening audience who have probably heard these things over and over again, but we're going to play it again, of something like this. Let's just give it a listen here, and I'm not saying a word. Let's just listen to it, okay? Hopefully this works. Here we go.
I need $100 in quarters.
I'm going to win myself a quarter if it kills me.
It's very difficult to hear without having your
headphones on. Well, yeah, but let's just ask Bill,
on,
let's just ask, did you hear anything that you consider maybe anomalous in that piece of audio, Bill?
Well, I heard somebody say they like $100 in quarters.
Well, that was me.
That's what I thought, and then I heard something about somebody talking about plugging a cable in.
A quarter.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Well, no, that's just how maybe me and Scott quite normally talk.
This was just our bantering back and forth, okay? We'll give it. It's a short clip. Let's give it another listen. Yeah, sorry. Maybe I should have front-loaded you a little bit.
Well, let me tell him where in the clip it is.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah, all right.
It's after I talk about wanting $100 in quarters. And right after that, there's something that we think is anomalous.
All right, here we go.
I need $100 in quarters.
I'm going to win myself a quarter if it kills me.
I don't want to keep going.
I did hear a third voice in there, but I couldn't make out anything.
Right, and through the phones and through the Skype it's gonna and all that different. Stuff, it's going to be weird. But what we hear, I'm just going to tell them what we hear, because people can download this off the website.
Yeah, it's on the website. As a matter of fact, Bill, look at all this technology we got here. I can do this for Bill, as a matter of fact. God, this is fun. We're like playing on the air. This is like great. I love it.
Oh, you can actually just drag it over.
Well,
to
no, me. I can actually just send you the link to this file that you can download.
Oh, you can download this later at your
whatever
at your
you
leisure.
Want. Sure.
However, this is an example, Bill, of what you were talking about, and because I at first I expected to hear the little girl because that's like the most obvious EVP ever
the other
on the planet. But this one I call it the Me Too, because what I hear after I say I want $100 in quarters or something like that.
Yeah.
Right after the word quarters, I hear Scott start talking and somebody says Me Too.
Yeah.
Like that.
Okay. Well, this is about what I thought.
Well, no, the thing is, when you listen to it,
it sounds like me.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. When you listen a little closer, you're going to hear it, and it sounds like Doug, and he was, like, standing right in front of me.
We were talking. I mean, I wasn't... Why would I agree with myself? I didn't say me too, but it did sound like it took frequencies out of my vocal range, put them together into this eerie-sounding version of me that's agreeing with the conversation, which is... Okay... It sends hair up on the back of my on the back of my neck because first of all, someone was listening to us and did that and agreed with us, which is I'm glad they agreed and didn't like you know.
Yeah.
You guys are not.
Well, everybody has a story with their EVPs.
Yeah,
and I can tell you that we were the only two people standing there, and this recorder was just sitting on a tombstone by us, and you know that's where we got that thing. But you can download that also, Bill, and check it out if you want to. And see what you think about that. I'm sorry, it just kind of came up.
But this is a classic example of where it sounds like.
Yeah, you mentioned
if I have PK ability. Maybe it was a caricature of my PK ability that agreed with myself for some reason.
Yeah.
but this is very, very much like what you were talking about.
Yeah.
So we happen to have that. Of course, the other example is of a little girl that does not sound anything like any of
us. No, it's completely different.
Right.
That's a whole different ball of wax there. But no, when you mentioned that, Bill, that really just like struck a chord with me because like I said, we've experienced that personally.
We have an example of what you were talking about.
Right. And I've seen others too. I mean, and, you know, I was at one of the Darkness Radio events and, you know, the MC there, Dave Schrader, he's got this EVP and we're listening to it and I'm like, that's you. I mean, no doubt in my mind. And, you know, everybody's standing there. No, he didn't say this. I'm like, well, you know, but that's his voice, you know. Absolutely 100%, but I've seen that with several people, and it is an interesting phenomenon. And then you do get the anomalous voice, like the little girl or the children or somebody that's absolutely not, you know. And that's why I'm saying I think we're seeing same things come across in the same phenomenon that present the same but are probably entirely different.
Yeah, they, you know, it's the same. Well, it's weird, but I mean,
it's
but it's being presented
media,
differently.
It's a different event.
It's just a different, yeah. It's a different, you know, and that could be a, like we said before, it could be a gazillion different outcomes or reasons for that too. So yeah, I mean,
well,
I'm
like,
melting
like,
down. Now.
Well, if you go with the power energy kind of thing, even electricity is completely different. I mean, you if you stick a fork in a wall socket, right, you're gonna get an electric shock, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the same thing if you put your tongue on a 9-volt battery, it's two completely different kinds of electricity.
Mm-hmm.
One is DC and one is AC, but you're still gonna poke.
Right.
That's actually a good point.
You know, I mean, but they're generated completely differently. They are, you know, one's coming from a storage medium and the other's coming from an active live wire. You know, I mean, they're generated differently. They're carried differently. They're produced differently. They're different, you know, waveforms if you hook it up to an oscilloscope. However, you still get a poke.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not very strong with a 9-volt, but let's say you had a 1,000-volt battery and put your tongue on. I don't know, whatever, but you get the idea.
Yes.
Even it's all electricity, but it's two completely different kinds, and you still feel it, experience it the same.
Yeah, exactly. You touched on, I think we touched on this already a little bit, Bill, but there are a couple, you're working on a couple of new things now, a couple of new projects, and I think we kind of like touched a little bit on that, but let's elaborate. Let's get into this. I want to hear more about this.
One of the projects I've got right now, and it's like I say, it's exactly what we're talking about right now. I've seen a lot of EVP, and I've always held a common belief that a lot of EVP is due to modulation. Now, when I say that, what I mean is that we're somehow modulating the EM fields that surround whatever the device is. So I started working on a project called Reverse EVP. And exactly what it does, I take an audio source and I modulate it in an EM field. It's very successful. When I'm within proximity of a microphone or any type of tape device, I can give you just incredible Class A EVP with it. I mean, crystal clear, almost as if it was taped with the microphone itself.
Wow.
I know that I can influence the hack box with it. I can influence my own equipment with it. I can influence a K2 meter.
Mm-hmm.
So what it tells me is that, you know, is it the answer? No, it's not. But is it a possibility that could explain this type of communication across many platforms? And yes, it is. So what I'm doing with it currently is using it like a research tool where I can go now and say, okay, if I did this to it, I modulate it this way, I narrow the band up, I slow the frequency way down, you know, how does it affect the equipment? What I'm looking for is the commonalities. You know, really trying to come up with a much more sophisticated piece of equipment, the next generation, so to speak,
but
really starting to narrow it down. Now, will it work for everything? Absolutely not.
Uh-huh.
You know, and this is probably one of those things that, like I say, it's the 1% theory. I'm chasing one thing in specific, you know. But it's the kind of thing that it's the only way I know how to do it. You know, I can't consistently make this happen. So I had to go out and create a method that I could consistently make it happen with.
Mm.
And now I've got a tool that I can actually go out and test my own equipment with and test new theories with based on this one theory that it is somehow a modulation of an EM field.
Mm.
And but that gives me a lot better way as far as being able to create more sophisticated equipment. Like I say, once you have the ability to repeat a test, you know, that's a wonderful thing. Anybody that's ever done this and built this stuff, you know, you work on new EVP microphones or you do a different type of sweep on one of the radios or whatever you're working with, you know, and you get results and then nothing. And, you know, and then you never get the same results. And that makes it very difficult because you can't fine-tune something that way.
Yeah.
So that's the method I'm currently going down to really do, and I'm hoping by spring I'll be able to actually sit down and do some public demonstrations with people and show them exactly what I mean when I'm talking about a modulated EM field. I did show one of the small devices I built at the Stanley last weekend,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I basically just showed them how I could be talking to it on a microphone, and I demonstrated that you could see that the field was being modulated, but I've got some contractual reasons why right now I can't actually go into a full demonstration. So, you know, the fundamental idea here is really is research. It's a
right.
tool that lets me fine-tune the equipment I'm working with. And then, that, like I say, it's based on a very, very narrow speculative theory.
Mm-hmm.
And given, you know, all the things in the universe, it's probably absolutely wrong. But, you know, it's just, whenever you're out there doing something like this, you got to pick one and give it a shot. So, you know, there we go. So I'll work this one until I get as far as I can with it, and then I'll try something different.
Okay. You have, you're building all these wonderful devices, which are really interesting, and it's, I know it's going to help a lot of people. Either people will say, nope, that's not working for me, and eventually it'll be like, okay, but we've got to improve on it. You know, I mean, something will happen, or
sure.
or some device will come out, and people will be like, wow, you know, this really, really means something. I'm getting meaningful messages. You know, I mean, eventually something will happen either way or both ways, but what, above all that, you have gone now to haunted locations, right? Apparently,
yes.
You've never seen a ghost because you are still wondering if they're the PK stuff and is there any other. But have you seen any phenomena that you might be like, wow, that's not supposed to happen?
I was on location filming with Keith Page and working with the Booth Brothers on a movie they've got coming up. And we're up on the third floor of this building, and I'm setting up a bunch of equipment. And I've got a tripod in one hand, and I'm walking into the center where I've got all these cameras set up. And this tripod just literally goes right to the floor. I mean, like it was being yanked out of my hand. And, you know, I kind of laughed for a second, and I spun around because I was certain there was somebody on the set, you know, playing with me. And then I realized, no, I'm here completely by myself. So then I'm looking at my feet trying to figure out if I've tripped in the cables or something, and then I realized this particular tripod had no cables attached to it, you know, and it didn't go down, like, sideways, like as if I had grabbed a piece of it and, you know, kind of stuck on my foot and my hand was moving forward and it moved away from me.
Mm.
It moved straight down. And that got my attention, you know, but like I say, it's still... And even if I would see an apparition, and I have seen a few things, I've seen some mists and a lot of strange things show up on photos, but I'm still, with me personally, the jury's out. I still don't know how to classify that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think, like I say, I know I told one person once, you know, maybe when I get on the other side, I'll think differently, but until I get there, I'll do the best I can with it. And it's like, and I don't want anybody listening to me to think that... I absolutely think everybody's right, and let me explain that. You know, if you have a firm belief in the spirit world, I absolutely do not want to dissuade you in any way, because you could be absolutely right, and I can be absolutely wrong, you know. And so, like I say, nobody knows for sure. I think a lot of times when people talk to me about this, I'm very open to it. I think the way I might classify what I think the spirit world could be is probably very different from how you would classify what the spirit world is.
Yeah, totally. It's all about perception when it comes to that.
Correct.
We're all perception is everything. I've been saying that for years now. It encompasses everything as far as experience is concerned. Yeah, and I think we all have our own idea of what the spirit world is, or the afterlife, whatever you want to call it. And that's what makes this whole thing fun, I think. I really think that's what it's all about. And that's what gives people different ideas. Like yourself, Bill, to go out there and set up these things, or somebody has a different approach, a different ideology, a different method to do something. I mean, there's millions of different ways that these things can be done. I need to ask you, though, about talking pictures.
Oh, okay. Well, this is something I just started working on, and it'll be up on my website in about a week, I hope. And I know people are waiting for another thing, I promised. And, you know, it's just, I just work all by myself, so I'm a little slow getting things done. I got the software running. What I've done, we were talking about ITC at the Stanley Hotel, and I was hanging out with a bunch of people and, you know, some wonderful folks. I was talking with Patrick Burns and Chris Fleming, and we were having a pretty good conversation about this. And I woke up at about 3:30 in the morning, and it hit me in the head. It's like, you know, we see all these
strange things in pictures.
Well, you were hanging out with Patrick Burns, and you were waking up at 3:30 in the morning. Usually, you're going to bed at 3:30 in the morning.
Well,
you know,
these guys, they went on a celebrity ghost hunt, and I get done with my talks about 12:30 at night, and so I went to sleep.
Good man.
But I will say, if anybody ever gets a chance to go to Stanley, that is a wonderful setup. This great big 350-room hotel, and when the ghost hunts start, they turn off every light in the hotel except for the main floor, and you are in total darkness in this great big old wooden structure. It's very fun.
No, that's cool.
But anyway, no, the idea was we see all these strange things in photographs, you know, streaks of light, weird images, you know, just things that are distorted.
Uh-huh.
And what I realized is, well, what if that really isn't meant to be a video presentation, but it's another form of data, another form of communications? It's audio, perhaps. So I wrote a piece of software now where you can go in and you can highlight something in the picture, and it'll work like the puck or the obelisk, and it'll route it to a dictionary, and it actually speak what it thinks that might be. And now I'm also working on a phonetic version of that so that you can kind of, you know, play around and see if the picture has something to say to you.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's
who ever thought of that?
Absolutely, I mean, fascinating.
I don't know where you're getting it from, Bill.
And of course,
I woke up with it, so you know it came somewhere else.
And of course, all of it can be accessed through digitaldousing.com.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And we only have a couple minutes.
There is one question that has been looming for the entire hour,
like a storm.
And we've been not dreading, but we've been anticipating this moment for the entire hour.
It's all you, Doug. Go for it.
Yes, coming up this spring, you're releasing your book, right?
Oh, okay.
And we have to ask, first of all, the book is called Don't Lick the Wall.
Yeah, we...
Sure.
And we've got to ask what that's about, because, wow.
We're in Waverly, the first time we're using this device, and took a break because at that point I was pretty distraught emotionally. I mean, so many things had happened.
Mm-hmm.
And we walked down into the morgue on the first floor and broke out some oatmeal cookies, and there's myself and a couple friends, and we're sitting on the floor. Now, this is one of these big events, so there's people walking around, and, you know, it's like paparazzi and the flashes are coming off. And we're talking about, you know, one of the guys dropped one of the cookies, you know, and, you know, it's a 5-second rule. And I said, yeah, but I would never lick the walls. You know, you had 65,000 people die of tuberculosis in Waverly. And just a few seconds later, this lady walks in, and I could see her walking in the doorway, and she turns and snaps this picture. And then the flash goes off, and all of a sudden she can see three grown men sitting on the floor, and she starts screaming hysterically. The book Don't Lick the Walls is really about my experiences getting into ITC and some of the really strange things that happen that really don't have time to go into, like on an event like this or just talking to folks. But
yeah,
there's about an 18-month period of time when I started working with this that, you know, I didn't know what I'd actually done. The very first time I played with it, I was extremely upset because it's like I told my best friend, you know, I'm sitting there, this is a joke. It's all I ever meant it to be. And it was doing things that it shouldn't do. And like I say, the engineering side of my brain couldn't take it. And, you know, I really wrestled with this for a long time. And that's really what the genesis of the book is about. Go into a lot more detail about some of the things that happened and how they happened and the occurrences and follow-up visits to Waverly and a bunch of tests that we performed. One of the things we did with the puck that most people don't know is we took the puck out and put it up on chat rooms.
Mm.
And that was very interesting because a lot of people, you know, a lot of times they'll say stupid stuff, just gibberish, but then it'll kind of track in and, you know, it's just fun to watch people interact with it like that. for a short period of time, I had an email set up called Email to the Dead, and you know, we were just kind of testing it out between friends. Well, you know the way it is. Somebody sees it and says, "Well, I got to tell my friend about it." Pretty soon, this is getting 50 or 60, you know, emails a day. And I'm sitting in my office and I'm watching, you know, these different things pop up. And then I see this guy send, when will I die? And I'm thinking, oh no, you know, here we go. And that's when I shut it down because, you know, the Pucks kind of sometimes has a strange sense of humor and I could just see it coming back with, how about lunch, you know? And, but that's really what, Don't Lick the Walls is about. It's about the experience and the different, experiments and the failures because there were some massive failures working on this and, so.
Well, that sounds fantastic. We
got being an interesting book. It's also good advice.
Yeah, like
Don't Lick the Walls coming up in spring of 2009. Bill Chappell, Digital Dousing.
Fantastic, yeah.
Yes, at digitaldousing.com. Wow.
Great to have you on finally.
Absolutely.
No, I appreciate it. I had a great time.
I totally admire your open-mindedness, frankness about, hey, I could be wrong, and you could be right. We need more of that, by the way, in the community.
Yes, we do, absolutely.
Because
well, it's much easier if you start off with just saying flat out, I am wrong. Because, you know, you only have one way to go from that point.
This device, probably won't work. Give it a try.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Didn't work for me. See what it does for you. You know?
Excellent. DigitalDousing.com. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, hang on the line, Bill. Don't leave us just yet, okay?
Okay.
Hang tight.
Excellent.
All right, we're going to go to break. Oh, man. Yeah.
That was something.
We've been working hard here.
We have.
Guys, we're just going to go to break. You're right. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
We'll be right back after this.